Welcome to Impact Ministries World Changer Weekend 2014. This is session number 8, and your speaker is Jimmy Bratcher.
Thank you all. I'm glad to be here again and to have an opportunity to share. That was a real gracious introduction, and I'm blessed. Everybody's been rocking this conference so far, and I think, anyway, I thought that Bob and Audra just tore the place apart, and Clint just, has so much to say, and Alan, was just right spot on. So I just want to talk to you about some things. You know, one of the things that I love about coming here is I don't feel the pressure to perform. And, because in church, you feel that pressure to perform. You know, football players have their game face. Church people have their church faces. And believe it or not, there is a piece of this mysterious, miraculous piece of property that surrounds every church in the world. And more miraculous miracles of transformation happen there than any other place on the planet. And you experience that today. I call it the zone. And that's someplace between where you parked your car and the front door. More miraculous miracles of transformation happen there than any other place on the planet. You know, Sherry and I, we used to experience this. We'd be coming to church. We'd be in a car. The tension would be thick. I'd have one hand on the wheel, one arm in the back seat doing a Big Daddy smackdown on the kids. We'd be fighting, and we'd pull into the parking lot, step out on the zone, and Super Christian would appear. Well, I don't feel that pressure here, and I'm thankful for it. I am. We're talking about the most important things. And, Bob said it this morning, we can just say Jesus and stop. But yet we are discovering how he looks and works through us and in us. And I'm thankful for that. This verse has just been rocking my world lately. You ever have one of those verses that just gets in you and it just like really jacks with you? Y'all understand jacks, right? It jacks with you. And it's Psalms 100, verse 2, and it's in the King James Version. It just says this, serve the Lord with gladness. And I just stop right there. And it's like that verse has become just a reminder in my life that I need to be experiencing the Lord in such a way that it makes me glad. We need to be, and that expression of gladness needs to be something that's real in our everyday walking around experience, that we have this reality of just serving the Lord with gladness. That, to me, brings rest to my soul, that I can do that. And that just like totally freaks me out. Our worldview is from a very limited reality. We don't see things the way that they really are. And if we think we see things the way that they really are, we will live a very small life. If we think what we are seeing and experiencing is the way things really are, we will live a very small life. And here's why. Ephesians 3:20 in the New Living Translation says, now all glory to God, who is able through his mighty power at work within us to accomplish infinitely more than we might ask or think. Let me read this again. Now all glory to God, who is able through his mighty power at work in us. He's able to accomplish more than we might infinitely ask or think. Therefore, if we live our lives in view of just what we think we see as being real, we're going to miss the reality of what this verse tells us, that there's this experience that goes beyond our senses, beyond our emotions, and takes us to a place of amazement where we can only stand back and say, I couldn't have ever dreamed this up. This isn't something that I could have thought up with my own intellect. This is by far more wonderful than anything that I've ever experienced. And I know it's because it's tied to the reality of who God is. When I have experiences like that, it's like I'm dreaming. It's like I'm dreaming. It's beyond my ability to comprehend, and I know I must be dreaming. You know, dreams are those divine insights from God that encourage us that there's something better. They encourage us to risk. And today I want to talk to you about your dreams. We all have dreams. I wrote a book about dreams. We all have dreams. And one of the things that I know about dreams in studying the Bible is this. Here's a dream qualifier. If you think that you have a dream and you want to know if that dream is from the Lord or not, this characteristic will always be there. If you have a dream that's from the Lord, it will always be about the family. It will always be about the family. Why can I say that? Because that is God's dream for this planet and this place. God's great dream, the great theme of the entire Word of God, is God's desire to be a father with a family. If you have a dream, that dream will always be tied to the family. And when I think about dreams, I always think about Joseph the dreamer. You know the story. I don't need to elaborate on it. Joseph, this young man, has this dream. And because of his dream and the favoritism of his father, his brothers hate him. They conspire to kill him. They sell him into slavery. He gets to his new home, gets in trouble, gets locked up in prison. And Joseph has these dreams in his heart for decades, this dream that has to do with his family. But one day, something changed, and his dreams began to very rapidly accelerate. Today, I want to talk to you about one of the things that I think is an important thing, maybe not the most important thing, but it is an important thing. I want to talk to you about dream acceleration. In Genesis chapter 40, verse 8, I want to just grab this passage of Scripture, and I want to talk to you about what I see in this passage of Scripture. Genesis 40, verse 8 in the New Living Translation says this, "And they replied," these two men had these dreams, and they're talking to Joseph, "and they replied, 'We both had dreams last night, but no one can tell us what they mean.' 'Interpreting dreams is God's business,' Joseph replied. 'Go ahead and tell me your dreams.'" Joseph's dreams had been buried by the trials of his life. I would assume at this point the only dream he had was about survival. And maybe today you have these dreams and they're stuck. They're inactive. But this one day something happened in Joseph's life that caused his dreams to rapidly accelerate. What was it? He became interested in the dreams of other people. He became interested in the dreams of other people, and almost immediately his dreams went on a fast track that took him from being convict to the number two man in charge of his country. I mean, I can't even imagine that at this point. I'm around convicts all the time, convicted felons. I mean, you think about that. It's like this guy goes from convicted felon to vice president. It's pretty miraculous. But that acceleration started because he became interested in the dreams of other people. This is a key focus for us as kingdom people. We must always be about assisting other people in finding and living their dreams. We must always be about assisting other people in finding and living their dreams. This is the main purpose of ministry, helping others fulfill their God-given dreams. And when I use that phrase, ministry, I automatically feel some of you disqualify yourself from that statement because we have made this word ministry something bigger than it actually is. I'm not against that. I mean, that's what I do for a living. That's my vocation. I think that it's necessary. But if you study the New Testament, and if you just do a Bible search on the words written in red, Jesus' own words, you will find that he didn't ever use that word ministry, that he didn't ever call someone to ministry, that he called people to be with him, to do life with him, and to follow him. And that, in turn, is all of our commission from the Lord. We are to be involving ourselves in the dreams of other people. What are the dreams of other people? And I'm, you know, you'll quickly understand this about me. I am very simplistic when it comes to how I relate to the things from the Word. So I just, you know, I want you to give that a disclaimer. So if you're like a deep thinker, you know, if you're expecting some deep revelation, Jim's preaching right after me and he'll take care of that itch. I'm not doing that. What are the dreams of other people? They want to experience the love of the family. They may not know that this is their dream, but it is. They want to be loved. They want to be valued. They want to be accepted. They might not know how to function in or find that dream, and that's what we as kingdom people are called to do, to help them find their place in the family. It's the purpose of ministry to instruct us how to live in and function in the dream that God has defined for us. When people look to us to interpret their dreams, how is it that we can assist them? How is it that we can assist them in experiencing the family? We have to be interested in the dreams of other people. How does that happen? Man, I'm flying. I'm going to be done early. How does that happen? I've been studying this passage of Scripture lately, and it just, you'll probably think it's like, well, you know, you should have known that a long time ago. But I didn't. I misinterpreted. It's Proverbs 18:16, and I'm going to read it out of three different translations. Proverbs 18:16. A man's gift makes room for him and brings him before great men. That's the New King James. New Living says, giving a gift can open doors. It gives access to important people. The NIV says, a gift opens the way and ushers the giver into the presence of the great. When I read this passage of Scripture for years, I always thought when it was talking about the gift, it was talking about ability, our gifts. You know, I'm a guitar player. That's my gift that I learned. You know, it's not something that just fell out of on me. That's the thing that I focused on and studied, kind of. And you know, I've been able to use that gift. But really, that's not what this passage of Scripture means. When it talks about the gift, here's the definition that just, you know, a Bible dictionary gives it. That which you presently have to give away. It's a gift. I mean, that's literally what it means. It means your gift, that which you presently have in your life right now at this moment to give away will open the opportunity, will make room for you to be able to have influence in people's lives. And let me tell you how that works. For some of you, it will work differently for all of us because we're not trying to create a program. You know, that's one of the things, and I'll talk about this in one of the other sessions that I do. That's one of the things that I have had to unlearn when it comes to trying to communicate the gospel to people. It's not a program. It's not four spiritual laws. It's not take these steps. It's not walk down the Roman road. It's discovering where that person is and you giving them what it is that is necessary for them to see faith germinate in their heart. I relate it to seed. I don't know if you all get my blog posts or not. If you don't, you can go to my website and subscribe to those. Just a quick website is therevjb.com or jimmybratcher.com. But I recently did a blog post called There Are No Bad Seeds. there are no bad seeds. And when you study the parable of sower in Mark chapter 4, this dude is like the worst farmer on the planet. I mean, this guy's throwing seeds on the rocks. He's throwing it on the road. He's throwing it into bushes. He's like, he's worse, man. He's a horrible farmer. But the interesting thing is, every one of those seeds, no matter where they landed, they did something. There was no bad seeds. There were bad conditions that the seed landed on, and those are subject to change. We have this opportunity to give that which we presently have that might seem invaluable, might not seem like it has any value or any significance to you, but to someone who is receiving it, it's a gift that opens up something in their hearts. For some of you, and it'll be different for every one of us, what that definition of that thing is. What's imperative is that we use that gift, that we use that which we presently already have. For Sherry and I, when we first started following the Lord, which was 37 years ago, we didn't have any ability. I mean, it wasn't like we could give our abilities because we didn't have any. But the only thing that we had that we could give was our time. And when I say that, automatically he's going to talk to us about us giving, donating our time. And it's like, yeah, I am. But don't let that create stress in your life. Because, you know, Jim talked about it last night, how that God is not bound by time. He doesn't function and operate in that. That's something that we have created. And so we started to give our time. And that opened up opportunities for us. For us, because we had no abilities, we had to learn how to function in life. And the local church was the place that taught us that. And so we began to donate our time. And the only place that they could find for us to give our time was cleaning toilets. And for 7 years, we bowed before the throne. Sometimes serving the Lord with gladness. And it began to make room for us. It began to bring us other opportunities. You see, you are around people every day. And in every social interaction that you have, it is an opportunity for you to give that which you presently have that will open up an opportunity. And it can be the most insignificant thing. One of the things that I recently shared on my blog was that I took a picture of a piece of gutter on my house with a corn stalk growing out of it. I'm like a corn stalk, you know, it's about this high growing out of my gutters. What's that mean? I need to clean my gutters. But it means that I don't know how that seed got to where it got. I don't know what animal took it there. But that seed, even insignificant as if it was thrown away, was still going to produce, it was going to do what it was destined by God to do in the condition and in the environment where it was. It wasn't up to me to judge that it was misplaced. It was up to me to see that it was doing exactly what God had purposed for it to do. And in every social interaction that we have with people, you'll have it today. Maybe at the hotel, maybe at a restaurant, maybe, you know, just stopping at a convenience store, maybe convincing yourself that you don't need to go into a fit of road rage. You have an opportunity to demonstrate the reality of the effects of your relationship with Jesus in this present life by how you conduct yourself with your gift. That which you have to give away. And we get to choose and control that. Our gift is of great value. Every one of you, what you presently have in your life, is of great value. And part of the biggest problems that we have is we prejudge and determine the value of what it is that we have. And we have to blow that up. We have to tear that apart. We can't wait, you know, we cannot continue to try to judge whether or not we are effective. The only thing that we can do is give that gift to people who God values in such a way. One of the things that I encourage people to do, I encourage pastors and ministers to do this specifically. You know, there are a lot of you sitting here, and you don't have any direct friendships with people that don't believe like you do. Or you have relationships with people who maybe don't believe like you do, but they're still kingdom people. And one of the things that I encourage vocational ministers to do is, now, why is it that you can't use the gift that you have, that which you presently have to give away, like you do on Sunday morning, on Monday? Why is it that you can't find a way to take, you know, if you're a teacher, if you're a preacher, if you're a counselor, or whatever you are as a vocational minister, why is it that you feel that you have to isolate that gift into an environment where everybody thinks and believes like you do? Why is it that you can't take that gift and go out into the real world and find and learn the tools necessary to be able to apply that gift in a real life setting? So many believers don't have any friends who are sinners. They and I know this for real, because Sherry and I were that same way. 14 years ago, we were, you know, I was a senior associate in a large church, one of the top 20 fastest growing churches in America. Sherry was over all the pastoral care ministry. She had a staff of 40 people. We were caught in that environment. We didn't know anybody that wasn't like us. And when we had this dream in our heart, we had this dream in our heart to do something. We didn't even know what it was. You know, I thought my dreams were about doing something. And when I wrote my book back there, I'll have to make a confession that I started writing the book, and the book starts out, and you know, if you read it, you'll understand this. It starts out being about the dream about what I was to do. And about halfway through it, I discovered that that wasn't really the dream. The dream wasn't about what I do. The dream is about who I am. And what, you know, who I be, y'all say that, you know, who I be, that's Missouri hillbilly talk. But so many of us, we don't have any relationships with people, and we don't know how to have relationships with people that don't believe like us. And part of what I'm going to do going forward in my next couple of sessions is I want to give you some things that over the last 14 years that Sherry and I have discovered that help us to be able to walk into an environment, a non-church environment, a non-church venue, and be able to communicate to people in a way that is valuable and that causes them to know that they are valued and loved. And really, if you want to start having fun as a believer, this is where it starts. This is really where it starts. Because now, all of a sudden, you've taken the limits off of your heart. You've taken the limits off of your life. You begin to see people the way that Jesus sees people, of having great value and worth to his kingdom and to his world. And you begin to get to participate in helping them find and discover their dreams. What are their dreams? They want to experience the love of the family. So, most important thing for me right now in these sessions is creating relationships with people that haven't experienced this love that we have. And it happens oh so organically, oh so naturally, when we see that we are part of this great family and we get to go connect and discover family members that don't know that they're loved, that they're valued, and that they care. And it helps us to be able to walk and feel fulfilled. One of the greatest discontents in Christian life is knowing that you have a dream and not knowing how to express that dream in a way that makes a kingdom difference. So, for my most important thing, it's finding and helping people experience that dream of knowing that they're part of this family. Thank you all. Jim?